This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
This is real, right? This is not like a once in every however many years like the eclipse today. So John Calipari voluntarily is leaving Kentucky, one of the greatest college basketball programs ever, to go to Arkansas, a very good program. Let's not make Arkansas seem like a dumpy program. This is a championship in the past, Nolan Richardson caliber program. Eric Musselman did a good job, at least until last year, obviously struggled. But this is unheard of.
Oh, when I saw the tweet, I had to double, triple check that it wasn't a fake Pete Thamel account. Because I was like, what? Cal's out of Kentucky and he's going where? To Arkansas?
Wait a minute. I don't mean to correct you. And I know you didn't mean it this way. But we need to be clear. He's not out. He chose to leave.
But he's still out.
No, I know. But nobody asked him to leave.
They didn't ask him to leave,
knowledge.
But they didn't beg him to stay.
Well, exactly.
That's true.
They let it be known. Here's the thing. They might not have fired him, but they let it be known that they didn't want him around the program. When you start talking about boosters not supporting you financially, the NIL not being as robust as you would expect it to be, and not being on par with other programs, then seemingly they left you no other choice because you're not going to be able to compete in this landscape of college basketball. So I think that's the way to avoid the $33 million golden parachute that Coach Cal would have gotten if Kentucky had made the decision to fire him. They basically pushed him out of the door. Mm-hmm. And he decided he was going to go to Waiting Arms down in Arkansas. It's going to be a completely different reception, a completely different vibe around Coach Cal because that's a program that's excited to have him. I just wonder, Smalls, with Kentucky now being faced with the prospects of finding a new coach, how much better do they have to do than Coach Cal? Who is it that they have to bring in to make this the right decision, the right direction for Big Blue Nation?
Well, I'm sure they have their wish list, but I don't know if they're going to be able to get a Billy Donovan to come take this job. I don't know if they're going to be able to convince a Danny Hurley to leave the monster that he built at UConn to go to Kentucky. The people that they're targeting or that they think are the correct hire for this job, I don't know that they view Kentucky as greener pastures.
Okay, so let's put the feet to the fire on that in a second. I just want to ask one question. Can anyone, because I have not been able to, I have one maybe example. Can anyone come up with an example in all of sports ever like this? Where you have the coach that clearly has the bigger job voluntarily take the lesser job? Because I don't even know that this is right, but Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame for LSU, but LSU is an awesome job and maybe better than Notre Dame right now.
You're going to the SEC.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't have an example of something like this ever. Because even when you have a guy like Pete Carroll was unbelievable at USC, left to go to the NFL with the Seahawks because you knew that the violations were right around the corner. I don't remember a job where someone had this kind of job. Like Dean Smith didn't leave to go to Wake Forest. Right. I mean, and again, I'm not saying Wake Forest is a bad job, but you get what I'm saying.
Harbaugh
left to go to the NFL.
Yeah. It's not like Harbaugh went back to Stanford.
Or it's not like Harbaugh went to Indiana.
Right. I don't know that I've ever seen anything like this. And not like
that's why we're all trying to make sense of it today,
right,
though. That's what makes it so jarring, right? Because we just don't understand why Cal would leave a job that's considered to be a dream job, a destination job for a program like Arkansas, who, from a prestige standpoint, doesn't come anywhere close to Kentucky. I mean, the arena in Kentucky is named after one of the all-time great basketball coaches we've ever seen in Adolph Rupp. Like, to leave that to go to Arkansas, it's a bit of a head-scratcher, but that's what makes me wonder, how attractive is this Kentucky job? I understand how the fan base views it. I understand how the athletic directors views it. I understand how the school president views it. But do coaches that are in that upper echelon in today's game view it the same way? That is what remains to be seen.
So basically your point is another coach, Mark Few at Gonzaga, Brad Underwood at Illinois, guys who are on, you know, who have been good coaches for a long period of time, would say, well, wait a minute. So a guy's been there for 15 years, produced insane amounts of first-round picks, been to a bunch of Final Fours and won a title, and that wasn't good enough.
No.
What do I need to then do for it to be good enough? That's a hard thing because there is nobody in college basketball, probably outside of Rick Pitino at St. John's, that has a brand that is similar to Calipari's, right? Because Danny Hurley is phenomenal. His brand is not similar to Calipari.
No.
Calipari brings immediate relevance to Arkansas in a way that they have not had since Nolan Richardson. And Eric Musselman is as exciting of a guy as there has been. He goes to USC. So you asked the question, CC and Smalls, about who do they need to bring in for us to feel like this was all worth it, right? That's the question you're asking?
Correct.
Okay, so we know Billy Donovan, Brad Stevens, and Jay Wright, check, good on that, but we don't think any of them are going there, correct?
Correct.
I would be surprised.
Danny Hurley, same thing?
Yeah,
I would be shocked.
Okay, so then let's keep going. Nate Oates, Alabama. They get Nate Oates from Alabama. Is it worth it? Is it all worth it?
It's possible, but Nate Oates just signed a contract extension, and there's an $18 million buyout. So beyond the question of whether or not he wants to go there, there is the financial ramifications of that and how that's going to impact your resources when it comes to getting the best players.
Also, if I'm Nate Oates, do I really view it as a better job? I know it certainly has the history and it has certain aspects of it that you could maybe make that case for, but Alabama is in a good place right now. He's built that program up to be a competitor, and they have resources there. He doesn't have the same amount of pressure that he would at Kentucky. Certainly, there's some pressure to win, especially after the success they've had this year, but it's nowhere near what will be required of him at Kentucky. If I'm Nate Oates, am I sure that that's a better job for me?
All right, how about Bruce Pearl at Auburn? Already coached two SEC teams. You know he's got the energy and you know he...
Oh, it's a better job for Bruce Pearl. Yeah. I don't know that it's a markedly better upgrade from what Coach Cal was.
Okay. How about Calvin Sampson at Houston? Older, 68 years old.
Great coach.
Phenomenal coach.
Great coach. Does that play in Kentucky? Does Calvin Sampson's approach play in Kentucky? Because that's a part of the math too. Like, does it fit in the locale that you're putting him in? Mm-hmm. I mean... You would like to think it would. You would like to think it's universal, but we know that that's not realistic. So, I mean, that's the question that you have to ask. Does it fit that fan base? Does it fit that region?
All right, I got one. I think this is a hard one for everyone to turn down. Scott Drew, Baylor. He's won a championship.
That's a good one.
That's a good one.
Somehow exceeded Texas and, well, now Houston's up there as well, as the biggest program in the state from a basketball perspective.
He's a top five coach in the sport, too.
And Baylor has tons of money, but you cannot say that Baylor's a better job than Kentucky.
No.
Scott Drew, that seems like one that could fit. Now, again, does that answer the original question? Does that make it all worth it? And what I mean by worth it, or what you guys mean by worth it, is the Kentucky fan base is okay today. They're okay with the idea that Calipari walked out the door. They may not be okay with the fact that he's choosing Arkansas instead of them. They probably would rather him go to the NBA and say, like, whatever, everybody wins. But is Scott Drew enough?
Listen, Scott Drew is a top five coach in college basketball. He's a damn good coach. And not a lot of people know his name, but he has Baylor consistently competitive in what has been one of the toughest, if not the toughest, conference in all of college basketball in recent years. So if they get him, they're getting a hell of a coach. My only question is, what is the expectation for Scott Drew once he gets
there? Got to win a title.
What's the bar to clear?
Got to win a title.
It's impossibly high. So do you want to walk into that situation if you're Scott Drew, knowing that you'll have other options? And one of those includes staying at a program that you've built up.
And won a title at.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. What I will say is this. If Kentucky swings and misses on all of these other options, the names that we've thrown out there, if they don't land at least one of those, they don't land one of those planes, then it is official that the shine has come off of Kentucky basketball. It would be official. If they don't land any of those coaches, let's run down the list. Billy Donovan, if they don't get him, if they don't get Nate Oates, if they don't get Scott Drew, if they don't get Dan Hurley, if they don't get any of those, they don't get Nate Oates, if they don't get any of those coaches, then the shine is officially off of Kentucky basketball. And I'm sorry, Big Blue Nation, but you are not who you thought you were if you don't get any one of those coaches. Because to me, that is the only way that all of this posturing and this type of move is worth it. Getting rid of, let's call it what it is, jettisoning Coach Cal. The only way that you make it worth it is if you get a clear upgrade, clear and obvious upgrade, as far as the coach is concerned. And it would mean landing one of those coaches that we've laid out. If you don't get one of those guys, then all of a sudden Kentucky basketball ain't what it used to be.
I am stunned that Calipari made this move. Absolutely stunned.
Why?
Because
I'm not.
I would have thought he would have said, fine, you know what? You don't want me. You're going to have to get rid of me. You're going to have to pay me the $33 million. You're going to have to get all of the NBA players who are pro-Kentucky and pro-Calipari in a spot where they may not be on board anymore, and that's important, right? Because they all love Calipari probably more than they love the school, considering they've spent more time with Calipari than they probably did at the school, considering most of them were only there for a year, if even that. I'm stunned it happened this way. I understand he got out before they could get him.
Classic. I'm going to break up with you before you break up with me.
But to go to Arkansas?
Why not? This is
Arkansas got money now.
I'm just surprised Arkansas got money. If he really wants to prove to Kentucky, okay, you think that you're so much better off without me, how about I stay within the conference where I've had a ton of success? Ooh. He's won 410 games with Kentucky. That's the fourth most by an SEC coach in conference history. He knows the terrain. He knows these teams. He knows how to recruit. He knows how to recruit specifically in the SEC. This is the perfect opportunity for Coach Cal to go somewhere else that is viewed as a lesser job, and I don't mean that disrespectfully, but right. It's viewed as a lesser job, and to build it into something that can beat Kentucky.
Well, let's be very clear. What John Calipari is saying today is that I am bigger than Kentucky basketball.
Yeah.
Because what you know of Kentucky basketball will now become Arkansas basketball.
Correct.
That for the last almost two decades, what he's telling you is, CeCe's right, Kentucky basketball ain't that big, but I am. And watch me now litter the NBA with Arkansas players. I don't know that he's going to be right about that, but that's what he's telling you today, is that I'm bigger than Kentucky, because I don't think he's going to go for the one and dones the way he used to.
Oh, I think he's still going after the one and dones. That's his brand. He's not going too far away from that, but I do think he's going to be open to the idea of bringing in more upperclassmen to play alongside those talented prep guys that he gets out of the high school ranks. Like, I mean, listen, there's no coach that's going to turn down talent, but I think having the right blend of upperclassmen, veteran players, experienced players to go alongside with that talent makes a difference once you get to tournament play. But a part of Coach Cal's appeal is the network of NBA players that he's been able to build, and mm-hmm. that's why it's perpetual in terms of his ability to be able to get those kids. Because when you're walking into those living rooms of high school players, and you can put them on the phone with AD, you can put them on the phone with Tyrese Maxey, you can put them on the phone with Devin Booker, guess what? Those guys are probably going to come alongside. If I could get them on the phone with Jamal Murray, come on. If you're a high school kid, you're going to go there. You're going to trust them. That's why Rob Dillingham went there. That's why Reed Shepard went there. And both of those guys are going to be lottery picks. Coach Cal is not going to go away from getting the most talented players out of the high school ranks. But I just think in terms of him having success in the tournament, he's going to have to be open-minded in terms of changing his approach.
Coach Cal to Arkansas. Better for Arkansas or Kentucky? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up, South Carolina did it from start to finish. Did not lose a single game and beat Caitlin Clark along the way. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Amazing performance by South Carolina. 38-0, beating Caitlin Clark in the title game in Iowa yesterday. We're going to get to that conversation in just a couple of minutes. We're going to get some phone calls in now at 888-SAY-ESPN about John Calipari, the stunning news that somehow, some way, interferes with all of this today, with the women's game, with the title game tonight, with the eclipse. It's amazing.
Yeah, Coach Cal eclipses everything that's everything. Going on right
it's
now.
It's unbelievable what he has done.
I read something about how Mercury is in retrograde and the eclipse coming through energetically. Everything is upside down, which is why when I saw the news this morning when I first woke up at 4 a.m.,
right?
I thought it was fake news. Yeah, I was like, there's no way.
How can you not? Brett in Michigan listening on Sirius XM80. What's up, Brett?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to talk real quick, though. With Calipari leaving Kentucky, does that make room? Because I know last year when UConn won the national championship, right, they were talked about being a blue blood. Well, since they're back in the Natty and could win it tonight again, would that bump Kentucky out with Calipari leaving? I know Kentucky's a great basketball program, don't get me wrong, but, I mean, that makes room for Connecticut now and Dan Hurley, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's not. I don't know a certain amount.
I don't know that Connecticut and Dan Hurley haven't been there though. UConn has always been a program that's competed for titles, right? They've won what? How many? Five titles since '99.
Well, that's the thing. They're a new blood more than a blue blood. Yeah. I think blue blood would be more historic. New blood is more of they have been a dominant program in our lifetime. Like if you think about what they've done in our lifetime. They have been better in our lifetime than UCLA. I mean, UCLA has won a championship and been to the Final Four, but like historically, UCLA is a blue blood. Duke has been a little bit of both. North Carolina has been a little bit of both. Connecticut, really, in the last 25 years, has been the best college basketball program. I mean, and this is now the third head coach they've won a title with.
Yeah, it's been remarkable.
But Jim Calhoun, Kevin Ollie, and now, obviously, Danny Hurley. And, oh, by the way, they're not the best basketball program in Connecticut. It's not even the men's.
It's the women's.
It's the women's by far. Robert in Raleigh listening on 99.9 The Fan. What's up, Robert?
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Before I give you the guaranteed next coach for Kentucky, I got to catch up on about 6 months of random stuff. I catch your shows early and late when I'm warming up my wife's car. I got to go leftovers, macaroni and cheese, the best pizza, and ordering stuff that's not on the menu. Michelle, I know you don't eat leftovers. My wife grew up eating leftovers. She'll bake a peach pie from scratch, have one piece, and then it's old. Where I work, They wonder why, the new hires wonder why I never order out with anyone. Oh, my gosh. I mean, my wife's cooking for six people. It's just her and I now. We're empty nesters. I mean, my leftovers are better than anything that could be ordered.
Oh, that's nice.
I'm going to take a phrase from Pizza A Love Story. If you've not, and I've heard you talking about where the best pizza is from. If you've not had Pepe's, Sally's, or Modern Pizza, you can't speak about pizza without any authority, and they're all right there in New Haven, Connecticut.
Yep.
The mac and cheese, you're all wondering where the best mac and cheese. I've heard this conversation y'all have had. The best mac and cheese is at grandma's house because grandma made it with love. Mm-hmm. And Canty, going to a restaurant and ordering something that's not on the menu. I'm outside the doctor's office with my wife. We're getting ready to go to McDonald's and her order for breakfast will be bagel, egg and cheese, no breakfast sauce, no butter. Double toasted. I'm like, honey, this is McDonald's. You order what's on the menu, but, you know, she has to have it her way. I'm going to give you the next coach for Kentucky. If they don't hire this guy, he'll be on the bench tonight. If the rest of the country isn't listening to this call and somebody doesn't hire Luke Murray,
Bill
the
Murray's
master
son.
Of the Connecticut offense. Thank you for taking my call.
That is as great of a call it's as we've had
call.
In the 7 months on the show.
Outstanding call.
He basically just told us, and thank you, all of these historical arguments we've had. We're a new blood. We're not as much a blue blood,
correct,
right? We're
correct.
The new blood.
We are.
But, like, he just gave us 7 months' worth of takes that I got to be honest, I forgot we had some of these takes.
Yeah.
He reverted back to the mac and cheese take around Thanksgiving with the breadcrumbs.
And then the leftovers with Smalls.
Yeah. I forgot about all of this.
Great.
It's amazing.
And then the best pizza, too.
I don't think... On the actual guarantee of Luke Murray, I don't think you can hire a first-time coach to be the Kentucky head coach.
No.
So that's an interesting conversation. Can Kentucky hire potentially the best coach available, or do they need the biggest name available? Because you might not get the best coach and the best name simultaneously.
I think the only way you can hire a big name that's a first-time coach is if they played. And I don't think that's fair, but like I've thrown around the idea of Rajon Rondo, who played at Kentucky. Like you can get away
with that. Who's from Louisville,
yeah. I mean... Luke Murray, who's actually the actor Bill Murray's son, is known as a great basketball coach. But can that person have their
you
first
got some star power?
I guess
he certainly does.
You can't. I mean, is that fair to anyone to have the first head coaching job at Kentucky? Don't you need a mid-major first? Isn't that the... I mean, that seems...
If you fall into it, you just fall into it.
I know, but come on. You've seen enough coaches fail in your life that probably you look at and you're like, I know why they failed. They've never done this before, and that's too high of a level to start at.
It's a pretty big jump.
Well, here's the thing that would concern me about Kentucky. It's not the job actually, like actually coaching the basketball. It's the politics that's involved. It's all the cooks that are in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah.
Like the AD having something to say, the president having something to say, the fan base having something to say. Like there are so many people that feel like they have ownership over your program. And if they felt that way to the degree where they jettisoned Coach Cal, then what the hell are they going to do to you when there is no proof of concept that you can actually do the job? Yeah. That would be the biggest concern that you would have as a coach stepping into that role at that program.
Yeah, they're going to feel like they can run all over him.
Exactly.
Dawn Staley, yesterday, in her second job, she was at Temple. When for some reason, I had thought she was at Stanford, which is ridiculous. But she was at Temple for, 8 or 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
Gets great experience there. Goes to South Carolina. And what's her record over the last 3 years now? 109-3 or something like that?
Yeah, 109-3.
Something ridiculous. What she put together with that team yesterday in the way in which they defended Caitlin Clark, I don't care that Caitlin Clark had, 30 points? 18 of them in the first quarter. Raven Johnson guards her and was unbelievable guarding her and made her work so hard, and she cannot come out of the game that she was clearly exhausted, as any human on earth would be with that level of defense. What South Carolina did this year in completing the undefeated season yesterday was remarkable. 38-0.
Absolutely remarkable. And I think about what Dawn Staley said in the aftermath of all this, after the confetti had fallen, when she talked about all of the people that left the program last year and how she had to completely turn this over, and that it felt so overwhelming at times that she thought about early retirement. And she made a point to say, I'm not kidding. That's exactly what I thought about. And for her to be able to take new players into this program, be able to have such defined roles for them and have the identity and the culture of the team be so immediate that they go on an undefeated run that culminates in a national championship over the best player in the country in Caitlin Clark. It's so rare and special what she's been able to do. And I'm with LeBron James, who tweeted that we must protect Dawn Staley at all costs.
No doubt.
She is one of the great basketball coaches in the country and one of the great figures in sports.
No doubt about it. I don't think there's any coach in the college ranks that has more swag than Dawn Staley right now. And the great part about it, Smalls, you mentioned it, like being unprecedented, taking a completely new starting five to the Final Four after the group that went to the Final Four last year and lost to Iowa. It's the first time it's happened in the last 25 years. So the fact that she was able to do it, but then also the quality of the depth that she has on their team. They're 9 deep in their rotation.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a huge factor in the game last night. They just wore Iowa down with how many bodies that they were able to throw at Caitlin Clark and company.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a big testament to what Dawn Staley has been able to instill in all of her players, whether they're upperclassmen or whether they're freshmen. Just the confidence to be able to embrace the moment, being able to trust all of those players in any moment. They made a point during the broadcast to show that or highlight that. And I think that is something that can't be understated, the fact that she trusts all of the players that she puts in the game under any circumstance. And that trust was paid back in kind when we saw them take control of that game in the third quarter.
Just to emphasize your point, CC, South Carolina's bench outscored Iowa's 37-0.
Hello.
Is the most bench points by a team in a title game over the last 25 seasons. Their depth was huge yesterday.
Coming up, America's analyst Tim Legler will join us. Women's basketball, Calipari, and the NBA. We'll get to that all, and maybe a solar eclipse, potentially, with Legs coming up.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and
The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
America's analyst, Tim Legler, ESPN NBA, joins us here at Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. All right, let's get right into it. Solar eclipse today. Where are we at with the solar eclipse, Legs?
Listen, my wife and I were joking the other day because we were all in on the last one. And then she threw the glasses out. Think of, I'll never see one of those again. And here we
are. So you don't have the glasses.
I don't have the glasses. Oh. I might just go out and risk it, man, at this point. I've had my retinas for a long time, man. Who cares? 57 years of retina usage, you know what I mean? Let's just go out there and take a peek.
You're throwing your retinas out.
Let's do it.
I think AD might feel otherwise.
Yeah, right.
Women's game, women's championship yesterday. We've been talking about it all show. It's been phenomenal to discuss. South Carolina, unbelievable performance. 38-0. What they did to Caitlin Clark for the final three quarters was remarkable. Your takeaway from the game?
Yeah, look, going in, I felt like it was going to take, and I was referencing the Nova Georgetown game in 85 in the national championship game, like pitch a perfect game. That's literally what it was going to take because South Carolina has too much size, too deep, too athletic. And then the final component, which is what Iowa was just praying for, they don't make threes. Mm. And then they made threes. If they're going to shoot the ball like that from the perimeter and you're basically giving those shots up because you don't have a choice, you got five bodies backed into the paint to try to protect on the glass, to try to protect the post-up play. You're daring their guards to make shots, and they did. And that separation they got at the end of the third quarter, to me, was the difference in the game. That they hit three threes in a four-minute span to close out that quarter, to take it from like a one-possession game to a double-digit lead. And now you could kind of feel Iowa. Like, that's when it really kind of – I think it sunk in at that point. It's just too much. I think Iowa – went as far as they possibly could.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much every team in the country, by the way, that ended up in that spot because South Carolina was the best team in the country.
All right, so let's switch over to the men's game. UConn has clearly been the best team in the country. They're going up against Purdue and Zach Edey, player of the year. Now, you've got the matchup of the best two big men in the entire NCAA tournament field between Klingon and Edey. Who has the edge in this matchup? Who do you expect to be cutting down the nets tonight?
I think it's definitely UConn because, look, you mentioned the big man matchup, but the amount of help that they have up front with UConn and the way that those guys attack the glass and the athletic ability and the strength. I love Purdue. I absolutely love their guard play. I love how smart they are. Edey clearly dominant when he gets to his spots. But the amount of help and activity that is going to be in the paint against him is unlike anything Zach Edey has seen all season.
And Tim, let's get to the big news of the day in collegiate basketball. John Calipari going from Kentucky to Arkansas. Do you think that that's a smart move for him? Do you think he'll be able to have success there?
Yeah, I mean, I think based on the way that it ended this year and the vitriol coming his way from the fan base, I think he understood it. They were ready for a change. Whether even the university was ready for a change, I think the fan base was, and I think John Calipari sensed that, and he's going to a place that's going to welcome him with open arms. Because, look, even if John Calipari doesn't go there and win a national championship, and a lot of people feel like despite, you know, the number of Final Fours and a national championship and the number of first-round picks, a lot of people feel like it should have been more for John Calipari at Kentucky based on who he was bringing in every year. It's a very difficult model to win with when you know you've got players invested in your program for one season only. And that's a tough thing to replicate. Now, is Arkansas, is that what they're looking for? Is that what you want? Hey, we're going to go out. We're going to get a bunch of top 50 recruits come in every year. And it's very difficult to slap that together in 35, 40 games and win something. I think Arkansas probably is willing to roll the dice on that. And let's see if we get one national championship and he's there 15 years, sign him up for that. Kentucky, they have different level of expectations. And that's why it's going to be a job that you won't have a shortage of people trying to get.
Well, how attractive is that job? Some of the names that have been thrown out there are guys in the NBA ranks. Do you think it's that attractive of a job that they would potentially leave the NBA for?
There's no question about it. Nobody's got the resources that Kentucky has, and nobody wants it more than Kentucky, their fan base and what they're willing to commit financially to make that happen. The support is there. It's a lot of pressure, but I think there are guys that are going to be signing up for that because the level of player you can get in there, really without even trying, is going to be off the charts. Now, I will say the model will be different.
the next guy that takes the job. It's not going to look like Calipari did it. And maybe Kentucky is like ready for that. Let's get something that's more sustainable year after year. And I think that's what different people are going to be looking at this job. I've heard Billy Donovan's name mentioned, and it makes a lot of sense to me.
So, Legs, would you leave if you were Billy Donovan, the Chicago Bulls, to go to Kentucky?
I think so, absolutely. Look, here's the one thing I can't answer for Billy Donovan. And I've talked to a lot of guys that have done both, coached in the pros and coached in college. And depending on their perspective, some guys say, no, are you kidding me? No, NBA is where it's at. All you do is coach. You're not recruiting. You're not worried about parents. All you're doing is coaching. And there are guys that get comfortable in that vein. This is a different animal. But look, Billy Donovan's been doing the NBA for a long time. Is he at a point where he wants to go back to that grind or not? Maybe he does. Maybe this is the one job Billy Donovan was waiting on to try to throw his name back into the ring for a college job, because it is completely different worlds, and you have to be in the right place mentally to take that on again.
Legs, who's the biggest threat to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference?
I think it's Philly. I really do. It's crazy to sound, because you got to think, okay, what's got to happen here? First, they're probably going to have to get out of the 7-8 game, right? And I think it's important to get 7, by the way. Because I think if you go on the road for one game, right, and you lose that game, and now at best you're the 8, you get Boston right off the bat. And they're probably, their season's going to end in the first round, and no one's going to feel that there was anything special about this team. You got to get the 7. Avoid the Celtics, and I think the Sixers could make a run all the way to the conference finals. I really do. I think the pieces they've added are really significant once you have Embiid and Maxey after. By the way, in the time that Maxey and Embiid have shared the court this year, their net rating is better than the Boston Celtics season.
Wow. Oh.
That's how good those two guys have been together. They just missed half a year, basically. So people maybe forget that. Look at what they're about to do and pull off here. I think they're the biggest threat to the Celtics.
Speaking of threat, you've been on the Dallas Mavericks for quite some time now, but how dangerous are they entering the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's the same thing out west. Look, people think I shortchanged Minnesota and Oklahoma City. They're probably right based on the years that they've had. You put Dallas in a first-round series against either of those teams, I'm taking the Dallas Mavericks because of Luka Doncic. The Luka Doncic factor and the pieces they've added around him, and the fact that Kyrie is just so Ooh. Right now. He's so cooking. He's meshing with Luka. He's in a perfect lane. This is the same lane he was in with LeBron, and he won a championship. And he was probably most respected in that lane. Think about all the different things that have happened to him since. He's back in that spot. He's comfortable in that spot. They've added athletes. And for me, it's the Luka factor. Mm-hmm. Who do you trust the most to come up big in a pressure spot, tight possessions in a series, other than Luka Doncic, besides maybe Jokic in the Western Conference?
Well, Steph and LeBron, but their teams aren't as good, obviously, I guess is what you would say in
that,
right?
Well, yeah. I mean, what I was trying to say was, if you're in the game with one possession left, yeah, you're right. Those guys are pretty important too. But I would still say there's not a guy in the league that I trust now more to overcome a tight spot that's got the ball than Luka Doncic. I just think there's no answer for what he does offensively. And if you want to load up on him, he's one of the few players in the league that can beat you with his playmaking as well. So they're rolling right now. They had a great win last night, a great comeback win against the Rockets to keep their momentum going. Again, though, it's like I said about Philly. Avoid Boston. It's the same thing in the West. Avoid Denver. Avoid Denver if you want to make a serious run. And I
you
think
just don't know where Denver's going to land.
That's the problem. They could be 1, 2, or 3. So I think if you're Dallas, you can't really worry about that unless it was the last day of the season and you knew that a certain thing could absolutely impact not playing them. And then maybe you sit some guys. They can't. They just got to go out and play right now, let the chips fall where they may. And I think Dallas is so confident right now, they'd even take their chances against Denver. I think internally, the way they think and the confidence of Luka Doncic, he doesn't care. But I think it would matter to avoid them to have the deepest run you can.
We're talking with America's analyst, Tim Legler, who's retroactively mad at his wife for throwing out solar eclipse glasses years ago in prep for today. So we talk about Philly and Boston in the East. Milwaukee is sitting there in the 2 spot, a game ahead of the Knicks and the Magic and the Knicks, respectively, 2 ahead of the Cavs for the 2 spot. Are they going to stay in that 2 spot when the playoffs begin?
Right now, I would probably bet no. But look, there's so few games left. I haven't looked at the Bucks' schedule to figure out what that looks like. And I don't know that it matters. What I'm seeing right now is a team that's lost belief. They don't look like they are a team that has the right type of psyche and body language that you're going to need to be taken seriously. And look, they're one of the worst teams in the league in close games since Doc Rivers got there. and they struggle with that beforehand. Their metrics, offensively, defensively, completely mediocre across the board. So they're just not a team that's imposing right now when you look at them. Will they hold on to the two? I don't know. I don't know that it's going to matter. I think. Look, for Milwaukee right now, more than anything else, they need to try to find some sort of rhythm and mojo and win some games going into the playoffs to get some of that bounce back. Because right now, this is a team that's hanging their heads a lot in the course of games.
Lex, it feels like an early exit for this team. If things continue to trend that way and that ends up being the case, what happens with this Bucks team? Like, I'm curious to know, is what we're seeing from them a product of the upheaval that the organization has gone through over the last year and two coaching changes? Or is there a character flaw in terms of how this team is put together and who's dialing up the X's and O's?
Two coaching changes and major personnel changes.
Yeah.
And a significant change in terms of how you're viewed. They were a team that hung their hat on the defensive end of the floor when they had Drew Holiday.
Yes.
And they went in a different direction. Now it's Damian Lillard's an offensive-minded player. No one cared when he was in Portland. Because Dame's got to do what he has to do to keep him in games. You didn't care if he was not fighting over a screen or running back in transition. Well, now the glaring difference between Holiday and him, you notice it more and more every night. So here's what I think happens. If they get bounced early, I think they probably remake their roster around those two guys with the kind of guys that you need, which are guys that want an alley fight. That's what you need personnel-wise around those two players, and I think they've lost some of that. They're a team that tries to beat you by going up and down the floor and outscoring you, and they're too inconsistent offensively, and Lillard and Antetokounmpo have not peaked with their combination. They have not peaked out who they are offensively to overcome the other things I'm talking about, the lack of defense, the lack of toughness at times. They're not good enough offensively to overcome that. So I think they remake who is around those two guys. Because I think you're all in on Lillard and Antetokounmpo going forward.
Sure.
And Doc. So it's going to have to be a remake of what else you have in the other pieces.
All right, Tim's got to go over to Get Up. CeCe's got to tell everybody about Granger right now.
Yes, for the ones who get it done. Not Doc Rivers of the Bucks. Granger offers high quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. MLB old faces and new places with Jeff Passan. Brought to you by TaxAct. Josh Hader, Houston Astros.
Once a top prospect in the Astros organization, left-handed reliever Josh Hader returned to the team on a five-year, $95 million free agent contract this offseason. Hader, who was the Astros minor league pitcher of the year in 2014, was dealt to the Brewers the next season and spent the first 5.5 years of his big league career in Milwaukee before going to San Diego in 2022. Hader may have seemed like a luxury for the Astros, but their top reliever, Ryan Presley, is 35, will be a free agent after this season. Rafael Montero, who signed a three-year, $34.5 million contract last offseason, had a 5.08 ERA in 2023. The Astros hope Hader will be closer to the pitcher that posted a 1.28 ERA in 2023, and not the guy whose ERA was over 5 the year before. If he returns to the all-star form he showed last year, he'll likely be pitching for the Astros deep into October, as Houston looks for its fifth pennant in
third World Series title since 2017.
Jeff Passan's Old Faces in New Places. Brought to you by TaxAct. Let's get them over with.
Old Faces, New Places with Josh Hader now with the Houston Astros. Brought to you by TaxAct. Let's get them over with. And Hader, on his 30th birthday yesterday, got his first save of the season for the Astros, who were 3-7 against the defending champion Texas Rangers, a 3-1 victory. He, of course, a pitcher, not a starting pitcher. And Smalls, I know that there was a big story in baseball over the weekend because the Major League Baseball Players Association is not happy with some of the rule changes as it relates to injuries.
Yeah, the MLBPA and Major League Baseball at odds. Stop me if you've heard this before.
Stunning.
Right? But this time in regards to the pitch clock. So after Shane Bieber, Spencer Strider, some people were dealing with injuries, the MLBPA has expressed concern over some of the changes that have happened with the rules in Major League Baseball, specifically citing the pitch clock and potential injuries that result from players not being able to effectively recover pitch to pitch. So here is the statement that Tony Clark, MLBPA executive director, put out about this issue. It says, quote, despite unanimous player opposition and significant concerns regarding health and safety, the commissioner's office reduced the length of the pitch clock last December, just one season removed from imposing the most significant rule changes in decades. Since then, our concerns about the health impacts of reduced recovery time have only intensified. The league's unwillingness thus far to acknowledge or study the effects of these profound changes is an unprecedented threat to our game and its most valuable asset, the players. Now, Major League Baseball has countered this, saying, we have done an independent analysis with Johns Hopkins University that finds no evidence to support the fact that introducing the pitch clock has increased injuries. They're pointing to increased velocity and spin rate as a reason why we're seeing so many injuries to starting pitchers. But this is an issue, guys, that doesn't seem like it's going to go away anytime soon.
Yeah, it seems like more of a coincidence than causation, right? Because we did see the removal of the spider tack and the sticky substances on the baseball.
Right.
And so to make that adjustment to continue to have that increased velocity, but also spin rate, you wonder if pitchers are making some adjustments to their overall mechanics, which are causing a higher rate of injury. So I'd be curious to see more information, more science behind it. But to make that blanket statement, Tony Clark, I mean, that is a pretty damning statement or accusation that you're making toward Major League Baseball. And we know how sensitive of a time this is for the overall sport, because Rob Manfred didn't make these decisions to impose these new rules, on a whim. He made these decisions because this was something that was necessary for the lifeblood of the sport, to try to create more action, to try to create more support from a younger demographic of sports fan.
Yes.
I mean, so if you don't have these innovations, if you didn't go with the pitch clock, if you didn't eliminate the shift, if you didn't go with the bigger bases, you wonder about the state of baseball and whether or not, from a financial standpoint, both parties would be able to enjoy the success that they've seen over the last couple of decades.
And this is why I have said from the get-go that while I'm not calling Rob Manfred perfect as a commissioner, no commissioner is, he's not alone in some of the downfalls that we've seen in Major League Baseball, and I believe the players deserve way more blame than they actually get. Because think about this. Without scientific proof, they basically would love to eliminate the pitch clock, which means let's make games longer. Think about that. What has helped baseball over the last couple of years?
Shortening the games.
Okay.
It's been huge. Shortening the games.
Okay, so then the players are telling you, we'd like to adjust that. Because we think as a result of a pitch clock, we are getting hurt more. I'm not suggesting I don't care about injuries. I'm suggesting without the proof to even go out there and say we need these games to be longer without a pitch clock is voluntarily hurting your game. Why? We've seen these things that work. Play games earlier in the day. We rightfully sat here and praised women's college basketball, ESPN and ABC. And yes, we work for ESPN. But for a 3 o'clock Eastern game yesterday for the national championship, right? We all grew up as baseball fans. It was easy for us to consume at times after school, during the day,
yeah.
Weekends, not late at night. Tonight for the men's championship, it's going to stink that it's 9:20 p.m. Eastern. Of course, we're going to watch it, but my kids won't watch it. No chance in hell.
A lot of kids won't be able
to watch
it.
A lot of kids won't watch it. Exactly right. And the reality is, if you as baseball can do things, as you guys just said, to appeal to the youth, do it. And this thought of eliminating the pitch clock does the exact opposite. Because a 7 p.m. start, and regardless of where you are, could end at 9:30. And maybe a kid can watch the whole game. And guess what? It's not going to do then if you take away the pitch clock. End at 9:30.
Well, and not only that, with Major League Baseball having this independent study done by Johns Hopkins that's coming in and saying that they find no evidence that pitchers last season who worked quickly were more likely to sustain an injury than those who worked less quickly, MLB has the data points. And I know it's a small sample size, but it's not as if we saw an increased influx in pitcher injuries. So much of this is because guys are max effort all the time. They're just gas, gas, gas. It's this increase in velocity that Major League Baseball is pointing out. We have seen over the past couple years, I mean, even before then, guys are getting injured at a steady rate, and it's their approach to pitching. It's not as crafty as it once was. It's all about how hard you throw.
Yeah, and that's a part of the problem, right? And so with these new rules, innovations, you would think that there would be more emphasis on the player side of trying to learn how to work around the new constraints that you have, to learn what it means to have success as a pitcher in the pitch clock era of baseball. This is not going away. So Tony Clark petitioning and posturing with Major League Baseball, it doesn't do anything in terms of being able to move the sport forward. I think the most important thing is that your pitchers and the constituents in the union, the players' union, understand, okay, this is what we're going to have to change to in order to have success while also maintaining health. I think this is a new world that they're in, and they're going to have to be the ones that are keeping up with the times. Major League Baseball has already shown that they have the ability to be flexible and open-minded. The players need to follow suit.
Exactly right. And Manfred is an easy target. He's a singular individual that made the comments about the World Series trophy being a stack of metal or whatever
it is. Hunk of metal,
yeah. Hunk of metal. Thank you, Smalls. And so forever, he's going to be blamed for everything. But what CC said is exactly right. Some of this has to go on the players as well. We're unsportsmanlike.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.